So that's a good point to move on and talk about testing the solution. But before we do that, we need to ask ourselves whether or not we're ready for it. So we've just been out and we've been testing whether or not the customers have got the problem that we think they do. So is now the right time to go and test whether or not our solution serves that need? Well, customer development is designed to stop you from investing in building products that nobody wants. And if you've been testing the problem and you're not getting a strong signal that there is a customer need there, then that's actually a really good thing. You're just about to avoid making a really expensive mistake and moving forward if you take action. So everyone in your team needs to question everything about the experience that you've just been through going and speaking to these customers. Are they excited enough about the problem? Are they excited about a potential solution to the problem? Have you talked to enough of the right people? Well, perhaps the solution, as you presented it in your low-fidelity MVP, isn't quite right. Be really strict with yourselves about whether or not you're seeing a strong signal here, because now is the time to do something about it if not. If you're confident that the customers that you've spoken to and have this problem, and that customers exist in large enough numbers for you to build a business around their needs, then you can move forward. If not, change parts of the business model. Go back and do that customer the problem test again until you find a problem you can really address. So we're confident enough that people care about the problem that we're targeting. Next, we need to see if they will use our solution to that problem or buy it. This still isn't about selling. Testing the solution is not about selling. This is really about learning more about whether your customers want your solution, what their initial reactions to it, how they might use it. So obviously, we want to know if the solution solves the customer's problem. That's one of the things that we're testing. But just as valuable is the insight that we'll gain in the process of answering that question. In the course of confirming that the solution meets their needs, what else can we learn along the way? Again, we spoke about designing your tests earlier, and you can decide how to conduct them in this phase. And there are lots of different ways of how to do it. I'll talk about two approaches to the testing which you can consider. That's the solution presentation and the high-fidelity MVP. So, for the solution presentation, you're returning to the customers that you spoke to in the first test, and you're perhaps adding a few more to it. You need to remind them of the problem that you now know that they have, and just confirm it still exists, and then explain your solution. If you're using a slide, keep it short, 5 bullet points. If possible, you might have a demo at this point, a mock-up. You might have a prototype if it's a physical product. You need to find a way of describing quite quickly what the solution is. And remember, it's not a sales pitch. You need to explain the solution in clear enough terms for them to understand it and how it's going to serve their problem. And then you need to sit back and listen again. This is about listening. Hear them out on their initial impressions. Dig deeper, as I spoke before, with your open questions. Ask them stuff about how they see it in the market. Are they using other products that are like it? Have they seen anything like it? How if they were going to take it and implement it within their business, or if they were going to start using it in their daily life, how would they go about doing that? Is there any friction that would stop them? You're not trying to convince them to buy the product or even that it's a good idea. You're just trying to learn from them about how they might use it and whether or not they value it. And then finally, check the price points. If you can get them to tell you how much they think they should pay for it, that's great. Otherwise, tell them how much you think you're going to charge for it and find out whether or not they're terrified by that or think it's okay. You're looking for emphatic responses. This is a quote from Steve Blank. It says, "Lukewarm responses can indicate a profound problem. Anything less than massive customer enthusiasm about your solution is a big red flag. It needs to be addressed. There's just no point carrying on building something that isn't going to get people excited. And at this point, wishful thinking is your enemy. You need to be really honest with yourselves. So I'm going to move on to the high-fidelity MVP, which is another way of testing whether or not the solution works. And typically, the high-fidelity MVP will work when you're creating a digital product. But it also works in the real world, and that's the example that I'm going to give you. So Streetcar is a car club. It places cars on the streets, and people can wave their car in front of them and rent them by the hour. Just walk up to the car, get in, drive it around. Great idea. It was such a great idea, it was sold to Zipcar, and Zipcar in Oxford, actually, we use them quite a bit. It was started in London by Brett Acker, a guy called Brett Acker. And he began with just 6 cars in Clapham. He didn't build a back office operation to run his business. He did stuff like buying notepads from WH Smith, getting his logo and sticking them over the top and putting them in the car as the logbook. He cleaned the cars himself. He was the customer support himself. He ran around making sure that they were all functioning and that they were in the right places and dealt with all the problems that came up. By any measure, he'd built a high-fidelity MVP, the simplest version of his service, which would work and well enough for people to actually use it and engage with it. He did this way before a lot of this theory was around, so he was just doing it naturally. He was effectively hand-cranking his business operations to find out whether or not his customers would use his cars. So what is a high-fidelity MVP? Well, it's the smallest set of features that will allow us to solve a customer's problem, the problem that we've identified. That's not all of your customers' problems, that's just a few. All you want is a few to start engaging with your product or service. And in order to test it, you need to get it into the hands of some early adopters. So early adopters are people or companies who are so eager to get your product that they'll make do with a half-finished product. They'll be really excited, just like when Brett put his cars on the streets of Clapham. He knew that there were a bunch of people around there who were just desperate to get their hands on them. They were so excited by the idea of a car club. They were desperate to give it a shot. So they didn't mind the WH Smith notepads. They knew that it was a startup, that it was a little bit rough around the edges. They just wanted to be involved with it. You need to find some people like that. And it's their needs that you need to serve with your high-fidelity MVP. If you're speaking to lots of customers, you will have heard a lot of ideas for features by this point. And your job as a product owner is to decide what features not to build. And that's most of them. The answer should be most of them. The MVP is not your finished product either. Don't get too hung up on it needing to be perfect. It's just something that you can get out there that people can start using. Here's what we do in our agency when we're exploring ideas for products. I'm not sure if you can see it, but down in this board are all of the possible features for a new product. Down in the corner over here are most of the features, and we've divided the board up into 3 swim lanes, and each one is a product release, and you can see how few of the features we've moved up. These are the ones that are essential. These are the very few features that we need to build to begin with to find out whether or not this thing is going to start working for some of our early adopters, and we don't need to think about the rest of it. And that's usually the case if you're really honest with yourselves about most of the stuff that you're going to be doing. So how do you go about validating your MVP? Well, you should understand at the beginning what desirable user behavior on that MVP looks like, and make sure that you've put in the metrics to measure it. You need to be able to measure whether or not people are signing up, whether or not you're losing them on sign up, whether or not they're coming back again, whether or not they're interacting with a certain part of the product that you're building. You should also remember to go and speak to your customers. Even though you may be producing a product that's all online, in the early days, there's nothing better than hearing directly from the people who are using it. To give you an example of that, there's a great business in Oxford called Educake, run by a guy called Charlie Derbyshire, just starting off. It's a product that teachers can use to set homework for their classes, and it marks the homework for them, so it saves the teachers sort of 10 hours a week in marking. So great value proposition. Now, Charlie started off with a big bang launch and sent mail outs to all of the schools, and he did get some schools activating accounts. but most of them didn't continue after the free trial. So by a lot of measures, his initial launch had failed, but what Charlie did was built relationships with those people who had come forward and said, yeah, that really does sound like a nice idea I'd like in my school. And with them, over the next few months, he changed his product and developed it and made sure that it was genuinely servicing their needs because he had built those relationships, even though it was a digital product. And actually, maintaining those relationships for Charlie is now an integral part of his business. When he onboards a school, he handholds them. And then lastly, take every opportunity you can to learn stuff during this MVP. So I spoke earlier on about an investment that we've made into a used cars product, used car sales product. So we're going through the process of building our MVP at the moment, and when we launch it, we're going to be launching it to a small number of dealers. Now, our plan is not necessarily hell-bent on making that launch a success. It's about building personal relationships with those dealers, getting on the phone to them, going and visiting them, and finding out whether or not our product in their hands is working for them, and if it's not, why not? It's all about learning. It's a learning experience.